Welcome to the official catch-up. Today I've got Dean Shanks on. How are you getting on, Dino?
Hey, not bad, not bad. Yourself?
Yeah, doing good, obviously. A bit nippy. The weather's good today. It's kind of off and off with the weather, but getting a wee bit tired of lockdown myself. What about yourself?
I've done a whole back catalogue of Netflix about two or three times now, so hopefully if we get a wee bit easing restrictions over the next coming days and weeks, I'll be able to get out to enjoy the sunshine and obviously maybe start to get a kick a ball again as well, which would be good.
And obviously you're quite well known in the Lowland League. Obviously you've managed and you've coached in it. In terms of your playing career, Dean, it's always similar at these levels. I don't really know too much about it. What sort of started you off in football?
I guess it was just back playing big sides in the school or at the local park. And obviously my dad was really into football as well, so we'd usually go and watch the football with him. And then obviously kept playing. And I mean, I'm no great footballer but I loved it for the game. So I played with some good boys clubs in terms of Adina Hibs, Hutchison Vale. And then had a couple of stints early on, with the Vale and stuff. And, maybe played, I wasn't at that level where I was ever going to, turn up the, and be a really good player. It was just a case of enjoying it. And then when I got to 18, 19, sort of went to university and other things sort of started to take over and other interests. And would rather go and watch football than go through the horrible pre-seasons. You run up and down Gullin and just run until you're sick, really. So I would say distinctly average, but I just loved the fact to be in a team and that competitive element. And also, I think for 18, I was more interested in the side of coaching and working with youngsters as well. So I'd done a lot of soccer camps as well with the SFA and stuff. And really, that's what took up a good interest in actually playing at that stage.
Brilliant. And I believe your first coaching role or first management role was at Hoyk. Am I right in saying that?
That was right, aye, down at Albert Park, which was, that was just what a learning experience that was. And I think we massively overachieved there. And for somebody's first sort of management role, I'm sure Hoyk and everybody will say it's probably one of the most successful sides I've ever had. But it was such a good learning experience. And, you were after the train in Edinburgh and then go down to Hoyt, but what a team spirit we had. And I learnt a lot in that first 18 months as well. And it sort of snowballed from there because I knew I was never a player that was ever going to, as I say, I wasn't a great football player, so I had to go and do it the hard way. I had to really go and show that I could do it. So when Hoyt gave us the opportunity, we grabbed it. And, it was about really saying, right, if I'm going to try and be successful and coach as high as I can, I'm really going to have to be dedicated to this. And that's what it was. And, we had some great experiences doing with Hoyt Royal Albert, which, long live in the memory of everybody that was involved.
Yeah, and we've spoke to guys like, obviously, Murph and Kenny Aitchison, who replaced you and stuff. In terms of what Kenny said, I don't know if you listened into that one, but he was saying, I think it was obviously different circumstances with yourself, but is it harder for, to get a wee bit more respect as a manager if you've not had a sort of playing career as such?
I think I wouldn't say it's hard. I think what you have to do is, I'm a great believer, and if you want to be successful in anything, you've got to go and earn it. Yeah. And I would flip it to the side and say, well, look, I didn't have the right to say that I'd done this in the game. So if I wanted to be successful, I had to make sacrifices. And pretty much, I'm sure the guys that I played at the top level who are managing, they would say, well, I've made my sacrifices playing and getting to the top level. So with that respect, you do have to go and earn it. But I think if you're dedicated and you really want it, I'm always a great believer, if you want to do something and you're so focused on being successful at that, then you're going to have a chance. So, no, I think it can be difficult, but at the same time, I think if you've got a mindset where you're totally involved and want to be successful, then I think you can put some of those, challenges to one side.
Brilliant, mate. Yeah, and I think you're right. I think a big part of it is believing in what you're doing, and even with anything, believing in what you're doing. And like when we first started to catch up, sorry, to sidetrack a wee bit, you know, but like I never thought we would have as much involvement with, you know, the clubs, the players, the managers and that. But we, I think we went into it with a passion, and I think that really helped us along the way. Had it just been your standard, you know, podcast or whatever, it might have not.
I totally echo those sentiments here. I think if you're determined and you work hard, you know, I'm a great believer in what you put into life, you'll get out of it. So it's no easy, but you've got to be so, if you've got an idea or you're something that you're passionate about, like you guys are doing a fantastic job at the catch-up are doing, then if you're determined to make it successful, I do believe that it'll go a long way. And that's something that working with players and, you know, learning from some of the managers I've worked under as well, it's something that, you know, it really does resonate throughout the game.
Yeah, and I believe you stepped down from Hoyt. I think it was obviously due to sort of personal reasons, which is sometimes happens, like family and whatnot. As you mentioned, some of the things that go on in football. But you moved on to Gala from there, did you not?
Aye, which obviously, for those that don't know, Hoyt and Gala are pretty fierce rivals. So, I think that was a bit of a surprise. But I moved on to there, and obviously, I mean, there's a cracking setup down there, so it was a case of, well, you know, I had to leave. I left Hoyt because my wife was pregnant with our twins, so it was, and the travelling down in Hoyt would have took a lot out of it, and you know, so I had to do what was right with the family, and I think that was the right decision. And but then when we sort of started to get in a routine, as most folk will know that I've had wee ones, I think started to ease up a bit, and then the opportunity came. I spoke to Stevie Noble at Lens when we were obviously at Hoyt and Gala, and we got on really well. So when he said this was coming up, I was extremely interested, and went for the role.
Yeah, and Gala, I think I've said it to previous people. I know we had Neil Hastings on, the current Gala manager, but I think you actually done a fantastic job at Gala last season. You know, you were eighth in the league, got to the third round of the Scottish Cup. You were unlucky to get knocked out against East Kilbride. To be honest, I think, well, we spoke at the time, obviously, when I heard the news that you had been let go or whatever the words, really. But I think it was a shock for everyone, and I guess yourself as well, that you...
It certainly was a shock. But look, I always think that, you know, you're never... I just thought at that point, you know, we were starting to really build something there, and yep, the excitement was starting to grow within the team and the players. I mean, you look at the players, you look at the coaching staff, you know, my assistant manager, Dean, one of my coaches, Robbie, they're both at Kelly under-20s now. I went to East Kilbride, Scott McKenzie Murph went to Pennycook. You look at the players, I've seen Rory, who we had as well.
Yep.
I mean, he was in the listeners' team yesterday as well. You know, we had Sean, obviously, to go to Kelly, Ricky, you know,
Miller,
we had Ian Watson. We had a really, really good team, and a really dedicated team, you know, Josh as well, Josh Morrison, Scotty Main, both went with Gary to Civil. So it was frustrating, but I'm no naive enough to think that I think that when you get involved in coaching and football management, that you're eventually going to be told that, look, your time's up or you've been let go. I just think, you know, there's some cracking people doing that club, really, really nice people who give up their time. And you know, it was good to hear Neil mention it as well, that, you know, come straight for their work. And it is a good club. And, you know, they do it voluntary as well. And that was the same. We made that conscious decision as a coaching team as well, that we wanted the team to be successful first, and obviously what was going on with the stand as well. So we were like, you know, we pretty much done it ourselves to make, if it is involuntarily, to then say, right, let's get the club on a strong foot and really push on there. So I sort of bought in that ethos as well. So I was just a wee bit, it's part of football. New chairman comes in and he's got his own ideas. And Neil and Eddie have done well down there this season. But I just think, you know, it'll be one of my regrets, I think, when I continue in football, because I really do feel there was something building there. And look, for one reason or another, it was decided that they wanted to go their own way, and they're entitled to that. So, it's frustrating, but, you know, I've learnt from it, and there's things that you think, you would sometimes you can understand it if you're having a poor season, but it was a bit of the blue. But I guess a good thing is time's a good healer in football. You've got to be prepared to take the knocks. And I think, if anything, it's actually made me realise things as well that I do differently. So a good learning experience, and I wish everybody down there the best, because they're a cracking club down there.
Brilliant, Dino. And yeah, as I said, I touched on it with Neil Hastings, obviously, wouldn't he? You know, I think he has done a decent job. I did think they would fall away a wee bit, obviously, when you left, because I thought you'd done an amazing job. But yeah, repeat your sentiments. We were a wee bit unsure at the start of the season what was happening with Gala, but they have pushed on. But you had offers, obviously, and you moved to East Kilbride, and another sort of difficult one for you, Dino. But you know, what was the atmosphere going in there? I mean, I was there quite early in the season with Berwick, and it was a wee bit different from, you know, we're going up to League Two or whatever. Was there a wee bit of atmosphere? Do you think there was a hangover from the previous season?
I guess, first and foremost, I loved every second there. Absolutely loved every second there. You know, and that's, if we go back, you know, to when I started at Hoyt, that was my ambition, to get to clubs like that, and obviously learn and work with, no disrespect to Hoyt or Gala, you know, better players, and learn from good coaches and good people like Stuart Malcolm and Jimmy and stuff, Jimmy Patterson, and I loved it. The people there were absolutely first class, and look, I hope Prox goes on and is successful as well if he's to get the role. But it was just, I think when I first went in, it was getting to know things as well, and the boys were on it. And I remember us playing Edinburgh City in the Betfred and deservedly beat Edinburgh City that night. And I thought, look, this is going to take some team. Having come up against them, I thought, you know, to be part of this group, I think that they could definitely push on. But for one reason or another, it didn't quite work out like that. But they'll definitely bounce back. But as I say, it's like I loved every second there, and I just working with the big man Marks and Jimmy and the players, you know, Sean and Anton and big Craig Malcolm. They're a good group.
Yep.
So I wish them all the success. But sometimes in football, it's just, you know, was it a hangover? I don't know. Because there's definitely a talented bunch here, and I think when football does start back up, you'll definitely see a resurgent East Kilbride, that's for sure.
Yeah, and it's one of the things we touched on with Sean Winter and that, and me personally, I thought you would be up there again, going in from last season, but, you know, if you start losing results or whatever early on, Sean Winter touched on it, but like it's hard to sort of get it back, basically, and you did have like the Betfred Cup and stuff to deal with. But in terms of yourself, Dean, like, I've heard different things on this, but were you and Jim Patterson a wee bit disappointed when East Kilbride were actively looking for managers? I've heard different things. Did you get an offer, or basically were they offering it out to other people?
No, I mean, as far as I was aware, like, they were going to follow the process, which every club's entitled to do. And I mean, they wanted to do that, and I think if you've got to respect that. I mean, and I just think that for one reason or another, it's like that it probably wasn't the right time to continue. And I think East Kilbride, they're a first class club, and they made that decision. So you've got to respect that. I do think Jimmy done a fantastic job there, and it was, you know, it was a transition. There's no doubt in that. So I'm sure anybody at the club would see that it was definitely a transition. So, you know, I think for whatever reason, Jimmy didn't want to go for it. And obviously, I decided right away, first and foremost, I was working with the big man, with Marks, and then I made it clear that I was going to be, I wanted to work with Jimmy. I miss the players and the good people there, but you know, I'm very loyal in that respect. So once Jimmy decided that he was going, it was I was going as well. My mind was made up, because I think that's one of the things I live by. I think loyalty in football, there's not a lot of it, but I like to, that's one of the principles that I work with, is like being loyal to folk, because I think if you're loyal to them, they'll definitely repay you back on the football field, not all the time, but they'll appreciate it as well.
Brilliant. And we've kind of touched on a wee, some of the players obviously you got to work with again, but like obviously Ricky Miller, who we've spoken about. Ricky's a very sort of strange footballer. He doesn't really look like a footballer, but he's no nonsense. He's got a good set of feet. He's probably, I rate him quite highly in terms of defenders in the league, I would say.
Ricky is he's a player that I've worked with now, and I know what Ricky brings. It's not just what he brings. He's a very good footballer. He is a very good footballer. But you know, there's this perception that you have to be, you know, like a Virgil van Dijk, or you know, these top players, and that's the way you should look. But Ricky, he wins, but there's more to Ricky than just him being able to win the ball and defensively tackle. He's a very clever football player, and he reads the game so well. So sometimes he's obviously in position there as well. So I think I've got no reservation at all. I think Ricky's a great player at this level, and it's not just that. I tell you what, one thing about Ricky Miller is, I'm sure anybody that's played with him, he is absolutely first class for a change room. Absolutely first class. He's a brilliant character, but he also makes demands, and I think that's something that's really important. It's all right making demands of players, but the most powerful thing is when it's players making demands on each other to be successful. That's when you really do see the teams become really successful. And you've seen that for this season. You know, Robbie at Bonnyrigg, Swifty at BSC, and Barry at Kelty. You know, you just watch them, and there's a demands on each other to be successful. You know, they push each other through to the limits, and that's all done through effective leadership for these guys as well. But they've also got very good leaders on the park, and Ricky's definitely a leader on the park as well.
Standards, I think the words.
That's it. Just demand standards, and it's like, you know, as I always say, you know, guys are given probably what, 2.5 hours, 3 hours max. They're weak. We're asking them to make sacrifices. So, see, when you're at your training on a Tuesday, Thursday, or whenever it may be, give it your all. Because it's, when you look at in the big scheme of things, you know, we're only asking you to give up a maximum of 3 hours a week. So, when you're at training, make sure you give it your all and leave nothing out there on a Saturday for that hour and a half, 90 minutes. And just demand standards. Standards is so important. You know, you're seeing it more and more for the top coaches, but filtering right down to every level. It's like, just demand standards. Pride in your performance. Pride to be the best. Strive to be the best. So important.
And one other guy we touched on, obviously, was Rory Payton, who did make our listeners' team of the season. I messaged Rory. I'm sure he won't mind me saying, but he did ask why I didn't have him in my team of the season. I think he was a wee bit unlucky because obviously Nathan Austin was, you know, you couldn't leave Nathan Austin out. Thomas Collins kind of played a similar role at BSC to Rory, coming from the left. And Ross McNeil, I think, was a wee bit hard done by last season because he was a wee bit part at East Kilbride, but he still managed to throw the goals in, and he's done well at Cali. So I think Rory, for me, was definitely up there, obviously, but I think it was a difficult one. He had a successful spell with you at Gala. I mean, was that one of the reasons that East Kilbride wanted to bring him in?
I mean, I was asked about him, but you know, that was, I think, Mark's definitely identified him as a good player, and Mark's obviously got him along to East Kilbride. So we gave him a bit of platform at Gala last season. He was fantastic for us, but you know, he's went on to different levels. He's one that I really do think of. And I've never, talking about standards and hard work, you know, anybody will tell you at Key Park, he's out there practicing all the time, you know, he's shooting drills, he's free kicks, and I'm sure you'll not mind me saying, he could still do a bit of practice on his free kicks. So he's definitely, he's so dedicated, and he wants to be the best, and he's somebody that I think, you know, if he keeps going, he'll go up the levels again, and just, somebody else, that, for such a young boy as well, he's got a good head on his shoulders, you know, makes demands of people, he leads by example. Sometimes, you know, he takes on too much himself, but he's just so determined to be successful and a winner. So he's somebody that I think, if he keeps going, good head on his shoulders, definitely when it comes to football. I'm not too sure about when he's outside his head on his shoulders. He's one of the most intelligent, I would say. But he's a cracking lad, and I wish him all the best, because I do think if he keeps working hard, he'll go up the levels, and quite rightly so, just for the sheer determination of the boy and willingness to be the best and continue to prove, continuing to want to improve and listen and learn. You know, he would tell him something last year, go and do that, and he was just like, right, okay. You would actually see him progress. So if he keeps up that level of progression, I think Rory will be successful. But as you say, I'm asking about being in your team of the season. There's also some very, very good footballers ahead of him in that respect as well. So he'll just need to work harder next season.
Yeah, I'm sure he's determined to prove me wrong. And I love that. I actually love that from him. Like, it's, you know, I always don't think my opinion holds too much weight. But I love to see guys that say that sort of stuff, you know what I mean? I think if they believe in themselves, and obviously, like what you said there, I think Rory does, and he will go on and hopefully score more than 24. So he leaves it in no doubt next season, I think, for team of the season.
No, he will. He's a determined character. So I think you'll get a message in your inbox for him as soon as he's got past the 24, I think.
It was the same with Spartans. We talked a wee bit about it. You know, last season with under-20s, some of the younger boys being a bit determined with Kelty and Spartans. I remember Josh, was it Murray Hand or Josh Wishart? I can't remember which one it was. Messaged me basically saying, "No, you don't give us enough credit." So then they obviously went on and won everything. So quite right as well.
I think that's brilliant, though. I mean, yeah. I think another thing is as well is like, young kids as well, the resilience that they're showing to, you know, you've got no right to be successful. You know, that resilience to say, right, okay, I didn't get picked in the team of the week or the team of the year this year, but I'm going to have that resilience to prove you wrong. And just mention about just the documentary on The Last Dance on Michael Jordan, how he would like pick up on things to motivate himself. So fair play to the young kids. I think resilience is massive nowadays. You know, you can't just be expected to like be told that you're going to be great and you're going to be successful. You have to earn it. You have to earn it. And look, you're going to have a lot of downs as well. But if you manage to come through them and keep wanting to improve and keep better yourself, like the two kids you mentioned there as well, then that's a massive attribute to have as a footballer, I think.
Yeah, definitely. And we did give a wee bit of stick to Civil's Kyle Fee because he had a few bad back passes last season, but he's came on as well. I think he's quite underrated in the league, and he does a job for Civil. Obviously, Gary Jordan, I don't think he would have any sort of bad players in his team. So we do give him a wee bit of pelters here and there, Dino. But he's obviously, if he's made the team, I certainly rate him, and so do other people. So
exactly.
And what about yourself, Dean? I know you were kind of looking into. Before all this, you were kind of looking to get back in coaching, but what are your thoughts now? Are you hoping back into coaching, or are you hoping maybe a bit further get back into management?
I'll be honest, I want to, and I think a lot of self-satisfaction for me. I've done the management, and I will go back into management, but it's a couple of years down the line for me yet. I want to take on as much experience as I can. As I said, experience at Hoik, into Gala, and then having that experience, which was fantastic last year at East Kilbride, I'm starting to learn. And I was never good enough anyway, but if it was age terms, I could certainly, I could still play, but I'm just not good enough. So I want to get back into the coaching side and do that. So, and just actually, I think it's go and work as a team and learn, develop players, give my thoughts and opinions if I'm asked for them. Because I do think that I've got a lot to offer, and I've had a couple of offers, but I mean, at the moment it's when football will go back, it's a hard thing. But I want to get into management one day again, because I loved it. I loved having that, carrying that pressure and showing that leadership as well, and that willingness to try and test yourself against some fantastic coaches in the long league, and managers, and it's only going to get stronger. So but just the timing's got to be right as well. I've got a young family and stuff, and obviously the work that I do takes a lot. So assisting someone, and you know, hopefully developing those teams. And I think my next club anyway, I want to be local. I think I've fair racked up the miles Dooney Hoyt, Dooney Gala, and along M8, M74 East Kilbride. So I think my next club, I'll definitely be looking local. But you know, I think when football starts, you know, I'll be back into it and I'm looking forward to that. But I guess the thing is, just now, it's not really time to discuss what clubs I'm going to as well, because obviously there's a lot of pressing issues around the world just now that hate president, and it's more important that we get over that and then get to kick a football as soon as it's safe to do so. I think the Lowland League is a cracking league in here. It's only getting stronger, and you know, hopefully the clubs that are involved there, that I know there's been a lot about reconstruction, but you know, these clubs are really striving to get there, and I just think that, I know George does some fantastic work for the Lowland League, so hopefully that we get to the stage where, you know, the pyramid is in place and we can finally get some movement down the leagues. I think that would definitely be good. And just to use guys, keep doing what you're doing. It's fantastic and it's great. I'm a regular listener that, you know, non-league football and such a diverse range of football, people in football are coming on the show. So I keep doing it. So thank you. It's definitely kept us all sane, I think, through the lockdown. So I keep it up.
I appreciate that, Dino. I really appreciate you coming on and chatting away and obviously talking football. It's been great. It's something I really enjoy, obviously. And I'm hoping to either see you back in the Lowland League or East of Scotland, wherever, and hopefully we'll catch up when football's back, mate.
Aye, absolutely. I look forward to it, and I'll see you next season.
Brian, Dino, thank you.